is that these are also being thought about and cast by some other independent audio drama producers who are choosing some other scripts, and they're being cast and created as we speak. Lots of exciting things happening. Amazing.
And Sarah being Sarah, then what is just a performer do? So this evening we need your help. We are going to need some of you lovely people to come up and do some walk-on roles for us. That's right, some cameo roles. And help us make some of the sound effects. Over to you, Kareem.
Well, good evening, everybody. You're going to help us out. You're going to need to have a quick warm-up, please. So, if you can all imagine, you're going to start chewing a little bit of chewing gum. Make it a bit bigger. Loosen those lips nicely. And then do what I do. Excellent. Fabulous. Beth, your turn.
Hello, so give your faces a quick massage. Got two hands, so you've got the advantage on me there. That's it, all over. Lovely. I might just stay like this for the rest of the show. But no, that's to get through. So, that's it. Really get into the crux. Lovely. Okay, the next bit is a little bit of call and response. And could we have everybody up on their feet if you would like? That would be very, very lovely. Thank you very much. Okay, lovely. So, a little bit of call and response here. Everybody on stage is going to do it too, so don't worry. So, after me, ha ha ha.
Ha ha ha.
He he he.
He he he.
Ho ho ho.
Ho ho ho.
Very good. This time, if you just really open your mouths, I had a little bit louder last time, I promise. Ha ha ha.
Ha ha ha.
He he he.
He he he.
Ho ho ho.
Ho ho ho.
Thank you very much, lovely. Over to you, Fiona.
Thank you, fantastic. Now, one of the characters we need is a goat. So if we could possibly have your greatest goat impressions after three. A one, a two, a three. Oh, that is wonderful. Great contenders there, yeah. Maximilian.
Hello, I'm going to be leading the Foley production this evening as well as holding up these boards.
Yay!
Yeah. You've got it, so please do what it says on the boards. Example, this one. Please tap on your chairs or on your laps. You can try that out. Thank you, very good. And we also have this one. And... now, please don't just say mutter mutter or ruba ruba. To give you context, we'll be in a courtroom and the suspected lady is a witch. So, let's hear you mutter something like... Something like...
Yeah, she looks like one. I'll bet she's one.
Sorry, we'll have to check pink before I die.
She's definitely a witch.
Witch! Witchcraft!
Well, maybe not that, you two. So, are you ready? Fantastic. And you have to react differently to some characters, so say a brave, heroic witch hunter has entered the room. You might gasp or say,
oh goodness, he looks handsome.
Or something like that. So please watch out for these and do what they say. We're also recording this, so we want it to be amazing. Thank you very much, Robert.
Great, so, oh, please have a seat. Please do. We've also got a few soundscapes we need to sort.
Oh, what's a soundscape, Robert?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Sarah, because this lot are going to help demonstrate. So, everyone here, you are rain, and you lot are wind. Love you. Wind can be done easily thus. Fantastic. Okay, so, rain, wind. Let's build it up. Build it up, the wind. A bit quiet. And wind. There we have a bit of thunder to go with it. A lovely, simple, stormy soundscape. And we will need your help for that later on. So, if you see this sign, who's with the right sign? There he is. And after a door opening sound like this, and then you do that. Also, finally, since you're all warmed up now, frogs. Yeah. Can you, after three, give us your best ribbit? One, two, three.
Rubbish.
Oh, actually, I reckon these three in the corner are pretty good. So, would you three like to be frogs? We'll need you for the act.
Want
to come up and just be frogs for the act?
Come up, if you'd like. Yes, come up. Join us.
Round of applause.
So, yes, could you just tell us your names into the microphone, please, one by one?
Hi, I'm Emily.
Katie.
Jackie.
Fantastic.
Superb.
Okay, so, thank you very much.
We also need you to do a couple of parts for us, so I'm going to give you a few bits of script here. So, could you please be the priest and the pillman for us? And could you please be Kate? And Navid, could you be Bordeaux the goat for us? Because I feel that, yes, could we get some mare into the microphone for us a bit closer?
You two,
are you able to do us a Devonshire accent at all? So can you say for me, I like my Devon tracker. One, two, three. I like my Devon tracker. That's wonderful. Thank you very much. So if very simply you would like to do those lines in an accent like that, that would be marvellous. And also, when you come to speak, you need to speak quite close to the microphone. If I point at you like this, are you okay to do something for me? I would like you to shout the word witchcraft. It's one line and we can afford the budget to print one more page. So if that's okay. So just practice, ready?
Witchcraft.
Brilliant. Perfect. One more thing. We have some props for you three. So, very simply, could you please, Hillman, would you mind? When Max points at you, please can you do this with this? Can you in the middle please do this with this? And would you mind going to the other side of the table and doing what Max is showing you to do? If you do it from that side, that would be marvellous. So thank you very much. And you're also going to be our frogs. We don't need you all to do it, just the three of you. So if you see this sign that Max will hold up, we need your ribbits into the mic, okay? So at the moment, we just need Kate and Hillman to stand on the mic. Bordeaux, have a seat for a moment. And yes, I think we're ready to cat prawn. So, no pressure. Thank you, folks. Break a leg, no salary required. And let's get on with this first script, can we?
Shadow of Ignorance by Julie Hoverson. Music by Catherine Seaton.
Oh, yay! Oh, yay! This court will come to order!
Are all present who would accuse?
Aye, Judge.
The court has convened in a case of the most severe crime.
Witchcraft!
Call the court, Bailey.
This tribunal will come to order!
Call the accused.
Bring in the accused. Do not think I would not hesitate to remove you from the court, Kate Carlin.
My apologies, Master.
Pronounce the bill, Bailey.
Elizabeth Jameson, you stand accused of multiple acts of witchcraft.
Never did I any such thing.
Hold your hexing tongue, woman.
Such acts include the drying up of several of Master Hillman's cows. Is Master Hillman present?
Aye, them cows was grand producers afore she.
Reply I only, Master. Yeah, we should we require any testimony, you will be called to witness.
Aye, I be present.
Further, accusation has been made that you attempted to seduce Master Byrne.
Nay, he is the one made every attempt to importune me.
You gave me the horn. You cannot deny it.
This is not...
You get the honour on your own, sir, else why would your wife be abed with your eighth child?
My lust for you is from the devil.
If you
Perhaps
please.
Perhaps you should visit Mr. Hillman and his cows.
Silence!
Silence in the court. Now no mouths will speak but my own unless invited to witness.
Aye, good. So, shall we add inciting Congress with animals to the charges against the accused for her impetuous assault to Master Byrne?
Think you we need any further charges? I think the evidence is quite damning.
Well, it was well witnessed. I mean, you know, we may have to address it.
Continue with the case as presented.
You further stand accused of stealing dirt from a consecrated grave after midnight, whistling on a Sunday, and wearing a red hat to church.
I never stole nothing. I put flowers on my mother's grave, and the only time I had to go there, it had come down dark. But surely it could not be as late as midnight. What else am I to do? I work from sun up to sun down to keep body and soul together.
Your soul is debatable were the charges proven true.
My soul is as pure as any maid's, Judge. I'm poor and alone, an easy target for the lusts and accusations of others.
You were accused by some number of your fellow townsfolk. Do you claim they conspire against you?
Oh, I know naught of conspiracy. I throw myself on the mercy of the great lords gathered here and say that were I ever to have even a foul and fiendish thought, I banished it with prayers to God, and I would never have acted on such, even if I had the power to do so.
Mercy is all very well, but the accusation must be answered. Call the witchfinder.
Witchfinder, enter! You swear upon your immortal soul that you will speak true?
I so swear.
Most excellent.
You are Master Morgenstern, expert at uncovering witches and heretics, are you not?
I am. I have personally been party to the execution of over a dozen witches in several counties.
You've said that there are certain signs that can reveal a witch beyond any doubt. Would you enumerate some of these in brief?
I would be honored, masters. First, most witches have some beast, generally of a midnight color, to guide them. They are known to speak to this familiar, which might even reply, though often in words unheard by any but the witch.
Does the accused have such a familiar, Bailey?
I do not. I barely keep myself fed, let alone a beast.
It is not the only sign, merely the most obvious. Witches often have area on the body, rendered insensate by their congress with the devil. Patches which cannot feel the prick of a pin.
Have you checked the accused for such?
I have not yet been given such a task.
I am never a witch. Certes, an expert like yourselves must see that, my gracious lord.
Witches may wear any visage, young lady. With such power as they can wield, they may appear as lovely as you.
Is there none safe from being a witch?
Those who dwell without the company of others, with none to observe any devious activity, are the likeliest culprits.
Oh, I'm not alone for a single portion of the day. I toil daily for three different families to earn a shred to eat and sleep in a pew in the church where the good father might always watch over me.
May I peruse the charges, Bailey?
At your pleasure, Finder.
Let me see. Carry the one. May we retire from company for a few minutes, masters? A strong suspicion comes upon me. But it is not for the ears of onlookers.
As you wish. Bailey, announce we will return shortly.
Bring the accused, if you please.
We must have private counsel. None may leave whilst we're absent, right?
May I perform a test on the accused, sirs, here in your presence?
Need you a pen?
I have in mind a more serious test.
Well enough. What is it?
I have a holy relic on my person for just such cases. If she is a witch, she will be unable to even gaze upon it.
That would settle all.
However...
Yes?
If she can look upon it but not touch it, she may not be damned herself, but have had dealings with a witch.
Dealings?
Even the most upright of folk may turn to the devil when desperate. Never think a simple charm or remedy will do them any harm, but evil sneaks in through the slightest of cracks.
Yes, of course.
Really? Is that right?
Or a curse may be upon her. You say she has no family and no hopes of marrying due to her extreme poverty.
Oh, yeah, it's quite tragic.
And none ever considered a curse might have placed her in such straits.
No. Do you think?
I must consider everything.
What must we do if she is accursed?
We must find the witch that laid the curse upon her and destroy her to undo all her wicked works. Or his. Some of the most diabolical witches I have uncovered have been of the male persuasion.
Good God preserve us.
First, let us test the accused. If she is the witch, this will all be moot. Girl!
I am called Elizabeth Jameson.
You claim you are no witch, do you not?
I am no witch, Master.
Then perhaps you are accursed. Are there any who would do such a thing to you, girl?
Well, perhaps Master Byrne, as I struck him when he made unwelcome advances.
Many men do not take such a rebuff kindly. Hold this for a moment, if you would.
This? Certainly. Oh, your pardon, Master. That thing, it burnt me.
I know. See, Masters, she is accursed. No witch.
How lucky we are you were here.
Certes, sirs, else you might have condemned an innocent, further thought yourself safe, while the true miscreant walked unsuspected among you.
Oh, what is there to do now?
We summon the witch to the court.
Will your relic do that?
Nay, sir, I must use a trifle of the witch's own power to do it. This must be kept secret among us.
What are you saying?
I am trained by the Mother Holy Church to use some of the devil's own magic against his works, but none must ever know. You must all swear.
I would never uncover any such trust placed in me.
We won't be called upon to participate, will we?
Nay, Master, I endanger no soul but my own. I am willing to do that in service to God and the good people of your town.
Well, then I concur.
Are you, girl?
Were you to remove whatever curse I'm under and free me from this accusation, I would follow you to the ends of the earth.
Just swear you will never speak of it.
My lips will ever be sealed.
Good. One further request. If the culprit is uncovered, their property should be forfeit to the crown. But in recompense for the curse this girl has suffered under, I think she should receive some portion in recompense. Do you gentlemen concur?
I will make it so. Enough to dower her into a respectable marriage, certainly.
That would do well in the eyes of the Lord. Now I must lay hands upon you, girl, to summon your tormentor. These good men will witness that there is no mishandling.
That summons me.
I do.
Who are you to summon such as I to your bidding?
I command you with the power of the church and God behind me.
I laugh at your command.
Laugh you may, but I shall compel your name from you, crone. Speak.
I will not.
Should we not take her? She cannot help but reveal her name in custody.
This is merely a manifestation. The witch is here as if in a dream. Else you would surely recognize her voice or visage.
No, of course.
Do not distract me further. Speak, witch. Your name. I command it.
I am old Maggie of the Fens. You fools never thought twice about coming to me for my remedies. Thus I own a morsel of every soul in this chamber.
Release them now, crone. Most especially this girl, Elizabeth.
You cannot command me.
Everyone in this room must pray and refute the devil. Where is the town priest? Ah, lead the prayer if you would, sir.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil.
You are far too strong. I must release my hold on them.
Come morning. We'll fetch this, Maggie.
No, we should go now.
Yes, we must brave the darkness to bring justice and security to the town.
And release from Satan's grip.
Yes.
The people will not be halted, Witchfinder.
Well, is there a great danger if we go by night?
It is of no matter. A witch may be stronger by night, but this one will be weakened by the confrontation just passed. I will be recovered and ready when folk have fetched torches to light the way.
Oh, yes, fetch torches and weapons to protect ourselves. Come on!
Yes, weapons. Of course.
We must destroy the witch to assure the curse is gone forever. I cannot go on under such a dark cloud.
Comes to me so late.
One who would save you, wise woman.
Save me? From what calamity?
The townsfolk. They come to burn you as a witch. Gather anything you wish to keep.
Who art thou?
I have a conveyance ready to take you away. What more do you need to know?
May I bring my goat? I cannot abandon her to burn.
Your goat is welcome, but time is short. Dress. Tell me what I can gather for you.
A trunk lies under that blanket. I was to have it with me, but, well, if you can shift it, that is. A dream forewarned me of this. After my dear cousin Agnes was drowned at Azazfield.
Agnes, yes. Your trunk is safe, Grandmother. Grab your goat and hurry. I think I hear the rabble approaching.
Come, Bordeaux, my sweet. What have you there?
A false body for them to burn. They need to see you die to be content.
How awful people are that they may need one's help one moment and then turn so cruel and heartless the next.
I promise you, times do change. Come now.
Meh. My trunk?
In my carriage, here.
Oh, I see no carriage. It is a small house.
If it helps, I will enter first. Come on, get inside.
Oh, very well. It's so large within. How can this be?
The door is just a portal. It can open anywhere. It and I are from the future.
But why come for me?
Once it was determined that people who were going to die anyway could not hurt the time stream if they were removed, the Wiccan Council of 2170 decided to save any of the wise women of the past that we could.
Oh, your words mean nothing, I fear.
See if this helps.
Whoosh. Maggie.
Agnes, but you...
Just as with you.
Oh.
Quite unnerving, I know, Maggie dear. Sit here with me.
Okay.
are clear.
Oh, my head is a jumble. Where are we? Who is this lady?
But this is Major Timms. She's from a future that's far beyond our time, as the birth of Jesus was before.
Close enough.
She came here to carry us off, in the very moment of our doom, to bring our knowledge and wisdom to the world of her future. Wisdom appears to be scarce there.
Just another stop or two before we return to my time. Hello?
Here.
You look tired.
Late night bonfires can do that.
Good job, if that helps.
Thanks. Only 3 more months of this. I get to go on him.
Want me to take a message?
Yeah, I'll get there about the same time you do. Where are you off to next?
Somewhere in Africa. Late 1800s.
How did we ever get past all this?
Just keep up the good work, okay?
You too.
And don't catch dysentery!
Can we have a huge round of applause for our first fantastic voice actors and Foley artists? Hooray! Well, I hope you enjoyed that first exciting extravaganza by Julie Hoverson. Superb.
Yeah. And our next script is by the wonderful Neil Jones of Radio Project X. It's a dark, fun piece, and we just need one volunteer to help us.
Beth.
Yes.
Would you like to pick someone?
Okie dokie. Basically, we need someone to be a police officer. Anybody want to join us to be a police officer? Anybody over here?
It's one at the back.
Oh, lovely. Yes. Do come up here. That would be grand.
Let's give them a clap as they come down. Yes.
Brilliant. Thanks very much. If you'd like to stand here just a second, what's your name?
Igor.
Lovely, thank you very much for volunteering. So if you could just have a go at saying something a police officer might say.
Good day to you.
Fantastic, I like that very much. Now, if you could try, could you try doing it in an American accent?
I can't do accents, I'm really bad at them. No, I can't. Good day!
That was great, I like that a lot. Okay, so here's a little bit of script. You're on page 5.
A horrible freak accident.
Lovely, and this one?
I'm sorry for your loss.
Perfect.
I would love to do an American accent if I could.
Okay then, shall we crack on with our next script?
Yes, let's!
Cheerful Town by Neil Jones, with original music by Catherine Seaton.
On a quiet street. On a quiet street, Mrs. Happy was busy tending the hedges in her front garden. Mrs. Happy was, as her name implied, quite happy. Welcome to
Cheerful Town!
Good morning, Mrs. Sunflower!
Said Mrs. Happy, for she often greeted objects this way.
Good morning, Mrs. Happy!
Miss Sunflower answered in Mrs. Happy's mind, for sunflowers can't really talk. Some perfectly nice medical professionals had described this to Mrs. Happy as variations on mania, and had written her a prescription for brightly coloured pills. Mrs. Happy always got these prescriptions filled because she loved to please people. But once she got home, she immediately flushed the pills down Mr. Toilet, the happiest toilet in all of Cheerful Town.
Good morning, Greengrass,
said Mrs. Happy.
If you say so, Mrs. Happy.
Said Greengrass for real. Mr. Greengrass was Mrs. Happy's next-door neighbour. He was not happy. He was old and had just stopped working 41 years ago after being seriously injured by a forklift being operated by the foreman's idiot son in a warehouse. He filled his days with Sudoku puzzles, which he could never finish, not a single one. Puzzles he would toss aside or into the fire with a grunt. When it was cold outside, his left leg and hip throbbed something awful, causing him to swear. Mr. Greengrass often swore, which upset Mrs. Happy.
Them damn sunflowers can't talk, Mrs. Happy. Waste our bloody breath. You should stop.
Don't listen to him,
Miss Sunflower said in a voice that only Mrs. Happy could hear.
In fact, Mrs. Happy,
Miss Sunflower whispered conspiratorially,
why don't you take those head shears and stab old Greengrass?
Oh, I couldn't do that.
Greengrass, who clearly hadn't heard the voices in Mrs. Happy, said,
suit yourself.
And bent to pick up his newspaper. A newspaper full of depressing news about crime and violence, which made Greengrass curse and rant something awful.
You gun-stealing commie.
Whenever he read that police in the United States had shot and killed another unarmed young man, which these days was far too frequent, Mrs. Happy on her side of the shared row house wall had to cover her ears. The Times Post Tribune Dispatch Gazette, or the TPTDDG as it was known to absolutely no one, was Mr. Greengrass's paper of choice. It was his only choice. It had a circulation of one, him. For even in Cheerful Town, where everyone hoped for the best, print journalism was nearly dead. Indeed, the publishers of the Times Post Tribune Dispatch Gazette couldn't wait until Greengrass slipped away into the next life so they could cancel his subscription and lay off the printers. Every day he didn't die, they cursed the paper's founders, who,
until as recently as 1983, had been offered guaranteed lifetime subscriptions. What were they thinking?
Hey, Lipcott! Where are we on that Greengrass file?
Still alive, Stan.
Ah, God.
For you see, the obituary of Lucas Greengrass of 163 Serenity Lane had already been written, missing only the date and the cause of death. It was all ready to be published in the Times Post Tribune Dispatch Gazette's first all-digital edition. What an awful dilemma for Stan and Lipcott. Two grown men, not sure if they could call each other by their surnames or their Christian names, both waiting anxiously for a man's demise. Back in Mrs. Happy's front garden, Miss Sunflower had some advice for Mrs. Happy.
Go on, stab him,
she said.
Quick, while he's bent over, stab him with the shears.
No, absolutely not.
Arguing with your damn begonias again, Mrs. Happy?
He can't talk to you like that,
said Mr. Fence. Also, as you have probably surmised, in Mrs. Happy's head.
Everyone knows begonias can't talk.
Stab him!
Said Miss Sunflower.
It's not like he's got much to live for.
This was a thought Mrs. Happy had often had when she overheard Mr. Greengrass cursing next door.
Yeah, what does the old misanthrope have to look forward to?
Said Miss Sunflower.
I think they know my voice by now.
Said Miss Sunflower.
Come on, Miss Happy. What does Greengrass have to look forward to? His newspaper?
Forest! 10 minutes with it and you know he'll be damning and effing through the wall.
Said Mr. Fence.
No.
Mrs. Happy hated that thought. She believed that between Mr. Greengrass, public transit, and premium cable, there was entirely too much foul language in the world.
Do it now, Mrs. Happy. Stab him.
Implored Mr. Fence.
Quick! Oh, Mrs. Busybody's at the salon having her hair done. It's the perfect window of opportunity.
Get a good grip. Use both hands. Blade between his ribs.
Said Miss Sunflower.
Really?
Added Miss Sunflower.
Oh, come on.
Mrs. Happy didn't know what to do. She had been listless ever since her husband Ralph had died. He was the one who had made all the lists in their household. The policewoman.
A horrible freak accident.
Sorry, I misintroduced you there. Should we go back on that? Yes. The policewoman, who in this instance is a policeman, called Ralph's death
a
horrible freak accident.
Lovely. But Mrs. Happy, Mr. Shedd and Mr. Gasoline knew better. The policeman, well-meaning but clearly uncomfortable, had tried to comfort Mrs. Happy by saying,
I'm sorry for your loss.
A loss of lists, thought Mrs. Happy at the time. Back in the present, old Mr. Greengrass was still struggling to pick up his paper.
Damn bloody shitting my paper!
Oh, the swearing.
Kill him.
Stab him,
said Miss Sunflower and Mr. Fence in reverse order. Trembling, Mrs. Happy raised up the head shears. And then things, as they often did for her when she was agitated, well, things got a little hazy. Just an average day in
Cheerful Town. Welcome to the Times Post Tribune Dispatch Gazette, digital edition, obituary page. Lucas Philip Greengrass, 79, died in what an uncomfortable policewoman, who was obviously a man, described as a horrible freak accident, involving an altercation with a next-door neighbor on Wednesday, May 18, 2016, in Chiffletown, Vermont. He was born on April 25, 1937, in Miserable Cove, Maine, to Andrew and Temperance Greengrass. In 1958, he married the amazing Invisible Amelia, a circus freak. After she vanished, he remarried in 1960 to one Elaine Freed, because let's be honest, two Elaine Freeds were not available. And together, they raised their son Barnaby. Lucas worked as a general laborer in a warehouse until 1975, until, while partially deaf from a combination of ear candling and psychedelic drugs, he was severely injured on the job. He spent his later years trying to understand how in the name of goddamn shitting piss to solve Sudoku puzzles. Lucas is survived by his son Barnaby and his granddaughter Kathy, who can solve Sudoku quite easily. Get out of this obituary, kid. Go on. Get. Funeral services will be privately held. Memorial donations may be made in Lucas's name to the Danger of Neighbors with Garden Shears Awareness Campaign, 3054 Northeast West South Street Boulevard, Cheerfultown, Vermont.
Fantastic. And can we have a huge round of applause for this person? How can I forget? A round of applause for Igor!
And finally tonight we have Selling Ledford Manor, Haunted House Special. So we need some people to help us clang pipes and make some noise here and there. And you'll also need to remember...
Very good. So, can we have a couple of volunteers? Kareem, do you want to pick one? And Robert, do you want to pick the other one?
Come on, let's do those hands. Come and join us.
Who wants to volunteer? I'll come and get you.
Thank you. Can we have a round of applause? All
right. So, Club, so if you want to just go and stand next to that mic for a moment, either side of Rob. So, very simply, we need you to help us with some thunder. So, Rob has got some things down here for you. Do you want to just give them? So, every time Rob wobbles his thing, can you wobble yours? Is that all right? Is there one more willing body out there? Yes, so in the hat on the corner there. Thank you. Do you want to come out? Can we have a round of applause, please? Woo-hoo! If you want to go over with Max for a moment, every time Fiona is going to be going up these squeaky stairs, we need you to help us do a quick squeaky floorboard noise, which Max is going to demonstrate for you. Okay, so let's just do a little bit of practice. So are you ready? You're just gonna, the wet rag on the wool makes a beautiful noise. So watch Fiona's footsteps, do some creaky floorboards for us. Beautiful. Come here. That is marvellous. Okay, thank you. Beth?
Yes, so Max will show you where to stand. Lovely. And let's get on with our final piece. which is written by Caitlin Statz, who has superb pedigree in podcasting. She also writes the Liberty Podcast and the White Vault. Enjoy.
All will be well, Ernest.
Mrs. Pratt, it's not as though when she arrives, Ledford Manor will magically become a sellable estate.
She's a spiritual exorcist, Ernest. It will magically become a sellable estate. That's the point of it all.
So, how do we approach it then? Welcome to Ledford Manor. Until just half an hour ago, this wonderfully charming 1760s Gothic revival was home to a ghost.
Well, keep the first part, certainly not the last. But chin up. Madame Dolores should be here any minute.
Wait, Mrs. Pratt, where are you going?
You don't expect me to dwell in a haunted place, do you, Ernest? With my poor heart. As the junior agent, I'm sure you're very excited to place such a profitable sale under your belt.
You're leaving me here? Alone?
And I get full commission.
Well, I'll take a small percentage for listing and administration fees, but it would be your greatest take-home so far. And you won't be alone long. Cheers, Ernest. Let's get Ledford Manor sold.
Yes, let's. Well then, one last walkthrough before the exorcist and the viewer then. Such a lovely manor. Nothing flipping frightening at all, really. Kitchen in good repair for its age. A few updates and it'll suit any resident, really. Leaky tap, it seems. Stubborn thing.
Oh, stop it, I know it's you. Oi! Right then. Great original hardwood floors.
Just a bit noisy. Nothing some nails couldn't fix.
Ooh.
Yes, get it all out now before the potential buyers arrive. Or at least be useful. Go on, try blowing some dust off the crown modelling or something. Stop shaking that chandelier at once. The buyers will think there's a draft. Put it back. Now.
Well, that was unsettling, but thank you.
Madame Dolores?
Yes, and please call me Madame Dolores.
Well, yes. I'm Ernest Harper, Madame Dolores. You're running slightly behind schedule. We have a viewing of Ledford Manor in under an hour. So please, would you move right along, do what you do and excise the ghost?
I can feel the strong spiritual currents in this place. Cold, salty.
Oh, is it too noticeable? I could turn the heater on, light a few scented candles.
Upstairs. It's calling me. Upstairs!
Good, yes. Up we go. Getting to the root of the problem, I see.
I can hear it. That wayward spirit. The depth of this place. Ledford Manor. An unquiet resting place. The house falls on a spiritual ley line of blooming power.
Oh, what, like satellite Wi-Fi? Is this a coveted feature? The 1760s Gothic revival estate near strong ley lines and excellent public schools?
Family plot. A garden once, now a grave.
Yes, well, the Ledford family plots are... disclosed in the paperwork, really.
Closed eyes beneath the earth, plots overrun, forgotten. Decades of unkempt blood roses bloom.
Well, the mature blooming rose garden is certainly a plus.
Here, this place, this is the epicenter of the haunting.
The master bedroom.
Many foul things have befallen the lives within these bedroom walls.
Well, whatever happens between two consenting adults in their bedroom is really not ours to judge, Madame Dolores. Oh, she's early. Madame Dolores, please work quickly and quietly. Hello. You're early. Nice to meet you. I'm Ernest Harper.
Nice to meet you. I'm Harper Hammond.
Rather a nice name you have there.
I could say the same.
Please, call me Ernest.
Thank you, Ernest. Mind if I come in?
Well, I thought perhaps we'd take in the Ledford Manor grounds, seeing as you're early. There really is a lot to see, even a wonderfully mature rose garden.
Perhaps later. The rain is coming down in sheets. I would prefer to start inside.
Oh, sorry.
Oh. Sorry. Closed so fast, must have caught a draught.
No trouble. These doors are sturdy and solid.
What was that?
Well, in such an old house, there are always a few plumbing problems to be expected. Another interested party is currently examining the upstairs. Perhaps she's checking the taps.
Oh, okay. Well, this foyer is magnificent. Crown moulding's a bit dusty, but that's to be expected. Oh, look at the fireplace, a thing of beauty. What was that?
Perhaps the winds blew something outside. Never mind. If you like the fireplace, you may enjoy the aesthetic of the dining room's chandelier.
Why are all the chairs piled up on the table?
Oh, sorry. You must excuse me. I was sweeping up earlier and must have forgotten to put them back down.
Well, you've a talent for it. I've never seen a chair balance on one leg before. Seems precarious, though.
Yes, certainly so. Let's move on.
Speaking of the chairs, do the furnishings come with the house? It would be a pity to separate the stylized pieces from the manor.
Well, I'm sure we could include the furniture with the offer. If you really enjoy this antique gothic monstrosité et sinistros décor, I'm sure the estate holders would be glad to see the furniture stay with the manor.
Well, where to next, Ernest?
There's a sitting room just around that corner.
A bit in disrepair.
Well, with a home this old, it's only to be expected.
Exactly. Nothing we cannot attend to with tools, paint and some old-fashioned elbow grease.
Yes, yes. I'm sure with enough hard work, sage smoke and YouTube tutorials, you could really turn this place around.
What was that second one?
What?
Dear Lord, is she all right?
Oh, I told her not to test the hot water on full blast. The water heater is top-notch, by the way. No worries. I'll go check on her. Feel free to look around. Carefully. Madame Dolores!
Don't just stare. Get me down.
What on earth are you doing on the ceiling?
This is not my doing. Now just help me.
Let me... Here. Grab this broom handle. Holding on to something. You aren't coming loose.
Pull harder.
Oh, of course. I'm not trying my hardest to dislodge you from your gravity-defying state. Just grab hold, will you? We can't have Mrs. Hammond seeing you up there.
Is everything all right up there?
Oh, everything's fine. She's an older woman, reminiscing over some antiques, memories of loved ones, that sort of thing. It's very emotional, very private, so no need to come upstairs. The library? Take in the wonderful architecture of the library. I'll be down in just a moment.
Well, okay.
Help me out, will you?
Well, you're down.
How's the exorcism progressing?
This spirit is stubborn. He's been here for so long, he doesn't want to leave. It has freehold on the house.
What can be done? Ledford Manor is my responsibility to sell.
I can look around. There may be other spiritual epicenters in the house.
What? What on earth does that even mean?
It. Hello?
Hi. I saw the sign down the drive. Manor for sale.
Yes, hello. I'm Ernest Harper. Are you interested in the Ledford Manor?
I'm a neighbour down the lane. I want to warn you about the
dead car accident on the lane the other night. Yes, it was such a horrible occurrence.
Oh, how dreadful.
No! About the murder!
Murderously wonderful party hosted by the previous owners. And with such a great layout, who wouldn't want to entertain here?
Really, sir, I must insist.
Oh, look, we're taking up far too much of your time, I agree. Thank you for stopping by. Make good speed back home. It's a downpour out there. Bloody goodbye.
Hell. Well, the neighbours seem nice.
Do it, Mrs. Harper. This spirit is stubborn. It wants me gone just as much as I wish to leave. Good day.
A spirit, like a ghost. When were you planning on telling me this?
Soon. Soon. Madame Dolores was just having a chat with it until recently.
Really, though, a ghost can actually be quite helpful. They can help clean. They're great for rearranging interior decor. And there's never a hot day with a ghost by your side.
Has it ever hurt anyone?
No. Though certainly not. No. Blows some wind, stacks chairs. All very mundane.
Well, I guess with the age of the house.
And yes, he's been very good company to me while I've been here.
Wait, a he? I'll not have my home tormented by some undead voyeur.
No! Please don't go, Mrs. Hammond!
Good day, Mr. Harper.
If you don't control yourself, you'll end up alone for the rest of your unlife. And I won't get my commission. So, what's it gonna be?
See? Not so hard, really, is it? So, if you really want to help, do you think you could blow the dust off those crown mouldings?
And there we have it, three original scripts by three wonderful scriptwriters. Thank you so, so much to our volunteers. Can we give them a huge round of applause? People who've come up to help us this evening, thank you so very much. So, clearly, it's been quite an exciting event for us, and we're very excited to see lots of you who've come to support us today. If you do have any questions about audio drama, voice acting, producing, then please do have a chat to us in the bar if you like a good chat, like the sound of wrong voices. Very simply, these guys are in quite a lot of shows, so let's give a 20-second pitch each, yeah, on where other people can catch you next. So, Robert.
If you want to cross between the X-Files and Trainspotting, check out a Scottish podcast. That's ScottishPodcast.com.
Let's get that away then. It's a good show. And Beth.
Hi, you can find me in Wooden Overcoats. It's a podcast about two rival undertakers on a Channel Island, and we're performing tomorrow evening at King's Place.
And Dwayne.
Well, I'm in a Scottish podcast too, playing the nicest gangster you could ever meet. I also lead in What's the Frequency, and soon you'll be hearing me in Diary of a Madman, season 2.
Lovely, I'm Fiona.
Hello, I'm also in a Scottish podcast, although I don't swear quite as much. And I'm also in Edict Zero and Mirth Defect and some other wonderful shows. So, thank you.
Thank you, and And I'm also a Scottish podcast now and then. And you can catch me in Attention Helmer Shoppers next season, Subject Found, and Enix Zero as well coming up, which is very exciting. And Max?
I'm in a comedy horror set in the 1920s called The Infinite Bad. You can search for it on Google, iTunes, Twitter. Thanks.
But there's degrees in it all go. And Andy? Where's going to be represented by Beth?
Yes, so Andy will be with me tomorrow night doing Wooden Overcoats at King's
Place.
On Friday. What?
That's on Friday.
Is that not tomorrow?
No.
Friday, everyone. The show I am doing is on Friday. Andy, however, will also be doing a show actually tomorrow, which is The Unseen Hour, which will be right here at Vault. It is also comedy horror. There are some representatives in tonight. Do come check that out at Vault tomorrow night.
Superb. So thank you very much. Also, must say to Tom Parsons and Catherine Seaton, give me a rousing applause. We did our music. Catherine's over there if you'd like to chat to her later. And very importantly as well, the writers of these shows, the winners of the script on competition, Julie Hoverson, Neil Jones and Caitlin Stass. Thank you for providing all the fun words, and well, all that remains to be said now is thank you. You've been a wonderful audience, and coming and participating so beautifully. And do follow us on Twitter if you like audio drama. There's a lot of recommendations that will come on at Yap Audio and on our wonderfully active Facebook group as well. So come and jump on there and have a chat. There's a host of amazing producers, writers, composers, sound designers and so on. So please jump on there, and there's also some great recommendations for listening on there too if you want to find out what you should listen to next on that Friday promo thread. And if you don't know, it's Robert's birthday today, so let's just sing a quick round song. Happy birthday. A 1, 2, 3,
happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Robert. Happy birthday to you.
And the front row will give you presents later.
Thank you, sir.
So, thank you all very much for coming. It's good night from Kareem.
Great.
From Beth. Fiona. Robert. Max. Andy and myself. And happy creating. Good night from you.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.